Who is the God of the first angel's message? Well, now this is the first of three angels' messages in Revelation chapter 14, starting with verse 6. Here's the first one. That's our topic for today. I saw an angel flying in mid-heaven, having an eternal good news to proclaim to those who dwell on the earth, and to every nation, every tribe, and people. And he said with a loud voice, "Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come. Worship him who made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and the springs of waters." But who is this God to whom we should give glory and worship? Well, according to the angel, it is the God who made the heaven and the earth, the Creator. Now, to find the identity of the Creator, let's start at the very beginning. Genesis 1, verses 1 and 2. In the beginning, God, this is Elohim, created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was waste and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. God's Spirit moved upon the face of the water. That's Elohim's Ruach. Let's look at these two words in the Hebrew. The word Elohim is usually translated as God or gods. It's quite a generic name for gods. It's really more broad than that. Jehovah referred to Moses as Elohim twice, as a god of his brother Aaron, and also as a god of Pharaoh. So Elohim can refer to a human being. In another place, it's translated angels. So this is a very generic word for anybody in authority. Another place it's translated judge, as in a judge and jury in a courtroom. The judges are referred to, those who judge are referred to as Elohim in the Bible also. So that's Elohim. Ruach. This is wind, breath. It's translated as spirit in many places, and or spiritual. In several verses, it's translated as mind, the mind. And this goes back to some things that we've studied in the past. Well, in Genesis 1, verse 2, we have the breath or the life or the mind of Elohim moving upon the face of the waters. This understanding seems consistent with Genesis 2, verse 7, which reads, Jehovah, God, formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And that word breath is ruach. And also in John 20, verse 22, when Christ had said something, Christ breathed on his apostles and said to them, "Receive you the Holy Spirit." Now, in the Greek, which is what the New Testament is mostly written in, the word spirit is pneuma. It has a similar meaning to ruach that we already looked at. Now, in Genesis 1, verse 26, we read, "And God, Elohim, said, 'Let us make man in our image.'" Well, who is this Elohim, creator God? Well, in Genesis 2, 4, we read, "These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created in the day that," who? Jehovah, Elohim, made the earth and the heavens. Here we see that the name of the Elohim creator is Jehovah. Look what he said about worshiping any other Elohim. This is in Exodus 20, verses 1 to 3, which is the first commandment. "And Elohim spake all these words, saying, 'I am Jehovah thy Elohim, who brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other Elohim before me.'" There we have it. The word Elohim was used both as a reference to the true God, Jehovah, and false gods. And that's why the interpreter, the translator, put a little g on the gods there, is because it's false gods. Now, let's look at a piece of the fourth commandment in Exodus 20, verse 11. For in 6 days Jehovah made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is. Who's the creator? Jehovah, says right here in the fourth commandment. Wherefore, Jehovah blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. And as we know, the seventh day of the week was made holy by Jehovah himself. And in fact, we know what causes the days. It has to do with the heavens and the earth and the moon and all. So we know what a day is from that. We know what a month is from that. We know what a year is from the earth circling the sun. But where did the seven-day cycle come from? There's no signs in the heavens that define the seven-day cycle. It was only defined by Jehovah, our Elohim, who created the earth in 6 days and rested on the seventh day and made the seventh day of the week holy. And for more about Jehovah as the creator, here is another study, the link to that study. But who was Jehovah speaking to in Genesis 1:26 when he said, "Let us make man in our image"? Who's us? Well, here's a quote from another Bible scholar. After the earth was created and the beast upon it, the Father and the Son carried out their purpose, which was designed before the fall of Satan, to make man in their own image. They had wrought together in the creation of the heaven and earth and every living thing upon it. And now God says to his Son, "Let us make man in our image." But wait, the Bible says the creator was Jehovah, and Ellen says it was Christ's Father. Why is that? Well, the Bible shows us that Jehovah is the Father of Christ and created all things through Christ. Here are two Bible texts that show that. Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2. God hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. And in John 1, verses 3 to 4, the New Living Translation, I like the best, I think it's the most accurate translation of this, says, God created everything through him, that's referring to the Word, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought life to everyone. And I probably should have put here in verse 14, the Word is clearly identified as Jesus Christ. This next section is entitled The True and the Living God. John 17, 1 to 3. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, this is life eternal, that they might know you as the only true God, and also know Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." And the Apostle Paul said something similar in 1 Corinthians 8, verse 6. He said to us, "There is one God, the Father, of whom are all things." Oh, he's the creator here. Paul is acknowledging that here too. "And we for him, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things." Once again, another text showing that the Father created all things through his beloved Son, Jesus Christ. That's 1 Corinthians 8, verse 6. Jesus identifies his Father as the only true God and says this is a matter of eternal life. He may have been making reference to Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 10, where it says, where Jeremiah said, "Jehovah is the true God. He is the living God and an everlasting King. The gods that have not made the heavens and the earth, these shall perish from the earth and from under the heavens. He hath made the earth, he referring back to Jehovah now. Jehovah hath made the earth by his power. He hath established the world by his wisdom, and by his understanding hath he stretched out the heavens. So here we see Jehovah as the true God and the living God and the creator. In the revelation of Jesus Christ, Revelation 1:1, Christ revealed the living God as the one who seals the 144,000. This we see in Revelation 7, starting in verse 2. And I saw an angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, "Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, that we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads." And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and they were sealed in 144,000. Does Christ further identify the living God? Yes, he does. Look at Matthew 16, verses 16 to 17. And Simon Peter said to Jesus, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father, which is in heaven, he revealed it to you." Now Christ, through John, further identified his Father as the living God in Revelation 14, verse 1. "And I looked, and lo, a lamb," this is speaking of Christ, "stood on the Mount Zion," this is John speaking, "and with him 144,000, having his," the Lamb's, Christ's, Father's name written in their foreheads." Luke also identifies the living God as the Creator. That's Acts 14, verse 15, and saying, "Sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that ye should return from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein." The living God, the Creator. Does Christ further identify his Father as Jehovah? Yes. In Mark 12, verses 29 to 30, we read, Jesus answered the first, when somebody asked him, "What is the great commandment?" "The first," he said, "is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength." Surely Jesus could only be speaking of his Father in light of what we read in John 17:3, right? It is well established here that Jesus was quoting Moses in Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 to 5, which read, "Hear, O Israel," Moses speaking, "Jehovah our God is one Jehovah, and thou shalt love Jehovah thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might." And this, I'm just put in parentheses here, I put see the note at the end of this study concerning that word one. We'll talk about that a little bit later. And Jehovah and his Old Testament prophets also agree that God is one person, Jehovah, as documented here in this Bible study that's linked on the lesson. Conclusion. Let's go back to where we started, Revelation 14, 6 through 7, and fill in what we weren't too sure about when we first read it. "And I saw another angel flying in mid-heaven, having eternal good tidings to proclaim unto them that dwell on the earth, and unto every nation and tribe and tongue and people. And he says with a great voice, a loud voice, Fear who? Well, we found out it's Jehovah, the Father of Christ, and give him glory, for the hour of his judgment is come. Worship him that made heaven and the earth and the sea, the fountains of waters." Exodus 20, verses 2 and 3. Remember, the Father said, "I am Jehovah, thy Elohim, who have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other Elohims before me." So here we saw the first angel's message and the first commandment of the ten, both declaring Jehovah as the only Elohim to be worshipped. I have an additional note here. There are some who claim that the Hebrew word ikad, translated one in Deuteronomy 6:4, means a oneness composed of a plurality. That's a quote of what they say. However, this is inconsistent with the Old Testament use of this word ikad. Surely, Christ does not have a father composed of a plurality of persons. To me, this seems obvious given the quotes and the text presented in this study, but for a deeper study of the word ikad, you can see this study on ikad specifically that is linked here.